Okay, guys, good evening, everybody. How are you doing? So today, I'll be sharing with you guys on something I've tagged, Thriving in Crisis. I know the past 4 weeks have been a tough one. Initially, when it started, you were like, oh, verse into hand. But like we say in worry language, like play, the thing don't turn to eat and go. We've stayed 4 weeks, and not even extended. I know it has been difficult for a bulk of us. It wasn't planned for. We had no thing put to say, this is what we're going to do, this is how you're going to do it. But somehow, God has seen us through to this point. But I want to now let you know, every crisis is unique. God has a plan for it. So I'm going to be sharing using the Israelites' situation in Jeremiah 29, when they were taken on exile to Babylon. And that's from Jeremiah 29, from verse 1 to 14. But before going into all of this, I'm going to let you know that whatever you're facing right now, be it on a general crisis, lockdown we're facing, or you have your own unique crisis you're going through, I want to let you know that these two shall pass. Whatever you're facing is not just you. And in the book of 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 18, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." God is doing something with this in your life. So I want you to know that whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. But like I said, we'll talk of how we're going to thrive in crisis. How do we use this opportunity of crisis to grow? So to our text in Jeremiah 29, from verse 1. I'm going to read particularly from verse 1. Then I'll skip some part of it. So now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of elders, which were carried away captives to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. I'm going to skip that to verse 3. By the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, and whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, now verse 4, it's where I'm actually keen on following more. So thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. But I want us to read the King Good News translation of that verse 4. It says, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those whom he had allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take away as prisoners." One question people were asking, why did all of this happen? Is it a punishment? Is it the world coming to an end? If the world must come to an end, we as saints will not be here. So just know that is a given. For the world to come to an end, we the believers will not be here. But I wanted that is key in this particular verse. When they were taken to exile, he said, God allowed it. Say, God allowed it. And that's what I want you to know. Whatever you're going through, God has allowed it. And also, because he has allowed it, he has made provision. He has made provision. He has made provision. So I want you to take that key. He has made provision. Yes, the crisis might be locked down, has been eased off, but it's not yet over. So for us to resume, we're going back to work. As we go back to work, we're going to face new challenges at our workplace because it's not business as usual again. Businesses are shrinking, reorganizing structure. People are being dropped off. Businesses that used to thrive now, they might no longer thrive as they used to. And you might be in one of those buckets. But one, I'm letting you know, what be the situation? God has allowed it. Because he has allowed it, he has made provision. When he asked Elijah, I used to confuse those names, to the desert, he sent a raven to take care of him. At one point, he provided a widow to take care of him. Same thing I'm telling you, God has made provision. He has made provision for you. Wherever you think you are, what will be the challenge? Whatever crisis mood you have right now, is it at your workplace, a family, health, even for those who have lost loved one during this whole crisis, God has made provision. And for me, I just need you to stay focused on God. I need you to have your eyes on God. Because at every point in time, He's going to direct you where to go. Where to go to get that next meal, to get that business deal. So I need you to focus on Him. God has made provision. There's one key thing I want to, in this same verse, I'm going to skip to verse 15 of this. When He asked them to go to exile, when He allowed them to go, some group of people refused to go. They refused to go. And this is what happened to them. And that's in verse 15. You say that the Lord has given you prophets in Babylonia. Listen to what the Lord says about the king who rules the kingdom that David ruled, about the people of this city. That is your relatives who were not taken away as prisoners with you. The Lord Almighty says, I'm bringing war, starvation, disease on them, and I'll make them like figs that are rotten to be eaten. The point here is, you need to be in that place God have actually wanted you to be. Because in your location, God has made an allocation. In this whole crisis, there's a place God wants you to be. I need you to identify it and stay there. Because it's that place you will grow. You see, for these people, where others were going on exile, they were like, why? I will not go. I will stay in Jerusalem. It's built up. The cities are there. The temple is there. But that was against God's plan. They did not go. Ultimately, they were destroyed. Yeah, I know most times when we get into that crisis mode, we tend to be irrational in our decisions. We get into panic mode. But I want to believe for the past 4 weeks, there's something we've been talking about in church, and that is dealing with fear. I want to believe you. We've gone past that panic mode. So you need to be in a mode whereby you're focused on God. You're focused on God. Your attention is on Him. Like we say, you need to put your ears on the ground to know where He's going to, where He's moving to. This is not the time to start panicking, to start crying. No, this is not the time. This is the time you need to put your focus on Him. Because like we read in verse 4, God allowed it. You're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High. He doesn't take you for granted. He doesn't take you for play. Like He says in the book of John, say, greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. The world might be in crisis mode, but you are not. Because if He has allowed it, He has made provision. There's a raven He has sent to you. There's a widow He has sent to you. Be it in your business, be it in your finances, in your career, in your health, there's a raven He has sent to you. So stay where He has asked you to stay. Don't get into that panic mode. Don't get into that panic mode. Two, the other thing I want to share with you in this, God wants you to thrive. God wants you to thrive in this crisis. It's not a time to shrink. No. It's time to increase in your capacity. Be a mentor. Be in your finances. Be in your walk with Him. God wants you to thrive. It's not to survive. It's to thrive. It's not to maintain your status quo. It's to thrive. Thrive means to expand, to grow on all sides. And that's what God wants you to do. So let's go back to verse 4 from our key chapter in Jeremiah 29. So the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those people whom He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylonia. For I'll put it, whom He allowed to be locked down for over 5 weeks. So He can get their attention. Verse 5. This is what He told them to do. To all of you who has been on lockdown. His sons, His daughters who have been on lockdown. Say, build houses, settle down. Yeah, you might say, how can I build houses when there's a lockdown? He's telling you to invest. Opportunities exist out there. Opportunities exist out there. He's telling you to reinvent yourself. Reinvent your business. Not outside Him, they're with him in the picture. Because in the first place, we told you, he has allowed it. And there's a place he has asked you to stay. And in that location where God has asked you to be, like I said earlier, there's an allocation. Now, in that same place, God has asked you to build houses, make investment. In which direction is your business going? Right now, with all of this happening, what are the opportunities that exist? In your career, what's happening in your company? What are they saying? What business have you started on? Do you need to start? What are the add-ons you need to put in? Because right now, some business cannot really thrive right now. But what else can you bring in? So don't just sit your hand on food and say, ah, that's all we're doing now. We'll wait. That's not what God wants for you. He wants you to thrive. Yes, he asked them to go on exile. He allowed them to go on exile. But in that exile, he said, as you go, say thrive. Say build houses. Make investment. In that investment, you reap from it. And this takes me to one of the prophecies God gave to us as a church earlier on this year. Pastor Ham, during our session, gaining momentum, she said something very key. She said, in this year, 2020, things will be tough in Nigeria. We're going to hear of recession and difficulties. Say, but it's not on the table for us. Yes, the economy might be shrinking. It's not on the table for us. If I digress a bit, and that's one thing I'll let you know about God. See, by a prophet, he led them out of Israel. He led them out of captivity. It's the same thing. God has sent his prophet earlier before now, and the word has gone forth. The word has gone forth. It will be difficult this year. Things will be challenging this year. That was in January. Before we ever knew of any of this will happen, it will be challenging and difficult. But the word says it is not on the table for us. It's not on the table for you to know that. That's what I'm telling you. When God has planned this all out. Yeah, let me go back. It's not on the table. So what's on the table for you this year? Invest. It says you build houses. Invest. Make investment. It says plant gardens. Eat what you grow in them. He says, plant gardens, sow seeds. I know the human mindset in times like this, you just want to hold forth. I'm not going to give. So what I even have is not even enough. But I'll tell you this, the widow that gave to the prophet, see, the Bible says that was our last meal. See, that was our last meal. But the prophet told her, see, if you will give me first, you have enough. See, this season, like Pastor Kia says, this is a good time to sow. It's a good time to sow. I'll share your testimony. It was this week. Someone called me. So earlier this month, April 16, we went out on our outreach in our Nigerian community. So we had to raise funds. So I reached out to some members in church, and they did so. So we did the first part of that outreach. So we're planning on doing the second one. So I reached out again to them, like, oh, we still need more funds. And he was like, ah, it doesn't last so much, but it will do something. So after I spoke to him and I gave him the report of what we did, so he felt the Holy Spirit telling him to give. So he gave. Days later, he was having a conversation with one of his clients. That, oh, they have this project and the rest, but things are a little bit challenging. He doesn't have enough funds. And lo and behold, Ben said, no problem. Just hold on, I'll call you back. A few minutes later, he was called back and was given almost the exact money he needed to sustain his business. Almost at a very, very small interest rate. Very, very small. Negligible. And that's what I'm telling you, what giving can do. In this season, he says you should plant and you eat of them. He didn't say you plant that maybe next year you eat. No, in this same season. What I'm telling you just happened last week here. He gave and yes, he started eating from those harvests. He started taking. The harvest is already out for him. I encourage you to give in this season. He said you should plant. That's how you will thrive. That's how you will thrive. That's how you will thrive. You thrive by giving. Don't hold forth. Don't hold back. You thrive by giving. He said plant, plant, plant. Yeah, for some of you, you might plant in crying. But there's a verse of the scripture. Can't get it right now. See, there are those that plant weeping. See, but they shall go out later in harvest full of laughter. And that will be your case in this season of crisis. So, other thing too, he told them, say they should marry. Give birth to children. But one thing that I take out from there, raise godly seed. Raise godly seed in this season. What are you teaching your children in this season? What's the message are they saying? What's the vibe are they getting from you as a father, as a mother? So there are three things I want to share. How are you going to thrive in this season? You need to be joyful. For you to thrive in this season, you need to be joyful. Say, with joy, we shall what? Pull, take well, draw from the well of salvation. You need to be joyful. And last week, when I practiced, every day, 10 minutes, I just praise him. There's no particular reason. I just go into a mood, praise. Play music and a dance in the house. Sometimes I get the children in, just exalting him, giving praise. You need to be joyful. Now, man, when they're happy, night they see you, though. Because if you're not joyful, it will be all blurry and it will be unclear for you. It will be difficult for you to hear. So you need to be joyful. And the other thing again, I've touched about is give. Don't hold back. What is happening to you is not just, it's happening to everybody. Yes, there might be some unique situation right now that you might be facing. I know you might say, hey, I don't have enough, I don't have that. Which excuse you want to give? The widow we talked about that fed the prophet. So that was our last meal. But yet she was instructed to give. And she was sustained all through that period of the crisis. In this year, like I've told you, you will get the harvest. He said, when you plant, you will hit up them in that same season, in this same year. So whatever you have in your hand, give. And also, thirdly, is a time to pray and prophesy. You don't keep quiet in this season. There's a season to keep quiet. There's a season to keep quiet. It's a time you need to pray. It's a time you need to pray for the nation. The time you need to pray for your business. Time you need to pray for your family. You will see that in verse 7. Say, walk for the good of the city where I've made you to go as a prisoner. Pray to me on their behalf, because if they do prosperous, you will be prosperous. It's a time for you to pray. It's a time for you to prophesy. Don't keep your mouth shut. You've been fed with so many things out there from social media. So many social media pastors, so many prophets out there. But you need to say, because it's what you say that will stand for you. So like I talked about, you need to be joyful and praise him. You need to give. And you need to pray and prophesy. Like they say, a closed mouth is a closed destiny. Don't keep quiet. So there are three things you need to thrive in this season. Be joyful. Give. Pray. And prophesy. In running up, we're going to focus on verse 11 of Jeremiah 29. Before I go there, let me read from verse 10. I'll explain something on verse 10. The Lord says, when Babylonia's 70 years are over, I will show my concern for you and keep my promise to bring you home. Before they even went into the exile, God told them they would spend 70 years. And that is to say, every crisis, the crisis you're going through, how is definitive? It has a time frame. It's a season and it will pass. So you don't need to start worrying about it. It will pass. It's not for a lifetime. It will pass. It said it will go for 70 years. That was it. It will take them back. So whatever crisis you're going through, whatever the challenge you're going through, it will pass. So these two shall pass. So you need to hold on to that. It might seem as if the entire world is crushing on you. Being at home for the past 5 weeks, your walls have become smaller. Your home that was a place of joy had become something else. But God is telling you, these two shall pass. Yes, the lockdown that might have been eased off. But like I told you, there's another phase of it that is coming. But whatever be the phase, these two shall pass. In verse 11, since I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you to prosperity, not disaster. At the end of it, there's something that will come out of this. God will be glorified. Jesus Christ had to go through the cross to access the throne. Same thing for you. You have to go through this crisis. You have to go through it. Don't just mark time. No. That's not the reason the crisis have come. It's not an holiday for you to just stay at home. If that's what you've done for the past 5 days, 5 weeks, well, I really don't know what to say. But that's not what it was meant for. It was a time for you to, one of it is for you to get closer to God, for you to know Him, for you to bond with Him. See, He has a plan for you in this. He has a plan for you. And the plan, God says, it will not end in disaster. It will not. It's a plan to bring you the future you hope for. Plans to bring you the future you hope for. So this is my summary in all of it. And that's in verse 11. Like I've talked about, God allowed it to happen. All of this, He allowed it to happen. He hasn't taken it by surprise. No. What is going on didn't take God by surprise. He allowed it. And in all of this, He had said what? Build houses. Make your investment. Go all out. Because in this season, you go hammer. In this season, all things are now ready for you. The prophecy have gone forth already. By the word of the prophet, we will go through this. Like I talked about, for you to thrive, you need to be joyful. The person when they cry on the sea road is when you are joyful, your eyes are clear, you hear from God. Then you need to give. You need to pray and prophesy. Don't close your mouth. And in all, God has a plan. The plan is not to bring you disaster. The plan is to bring you for the future you hope for. What are you hoping for? What is your desire for this 2020? What are those thoughts you've written down? Like Pastor Emma, I've talked about 20 things in 2020. God will bring every one of them to pass. It might look like you've lost almost like 5 weeks. My dear, you've not. You've not. You've not lost. For those who have planted, you will see the harvest. So what I want to encourage you, I need you to remain strong. So we're going to pray for strength. Strength to go through this. Strength to tarry through. Because that's one thing God gave to the prophet when he was in the desert. Strength to hold on. Strength to go through. Strength to see that God's plan come to pass. Father, I pray for my listeners and my viewers out there. Father, I ask you to strengthen every one of us. In this period of crisis, in this period of recession in the world, in this period of where things are difficult, I pray for strength for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are going through one challenge in their marriage, for those who are going through one challenge in their business, who are going through one challenge in their career. Father, I ask for strength to go through. That at the end, as we've planted in this season, we'll reap 100-fold. Because that's what your prophet says, Bishop Wale Oke. So in this season, 100-fold blessings that we'll reap of it in this season. Thank you, awesome God, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. I want to believe you've been blessed through this. So see you next time.